I trust you've had a blessed week. We've had a lot of rain the last few days, and that's not a bad thing. And I'm just excited. I came into town today and grabbed a little bit of lunch. It was 80 degrees on my way home. When I left the restaurant, it was 80, and I got home, it was 73. And I sat outside for a little bit and had to go in because it had dropped down to 69. And suppose we got some cooler weather coming, and I don't know why I'm saying all of this other than I'm just saying it because I can. It's been a while. It's been a while since I've just rambled. So, but it's good to see you all tonight. We didn't complete part B last week of our Job section of our series. We're going through a series, a testing of our faith. And since we didn't complete part B and I didn't finish it, I've decided to just add, instead of part B1, it would be part C, and it'll be the second part because we'll make a little bit of reference to Job, but there's some points that I wanted to cover that I didn't get to last week, and we're just going to kind of recap a little bit on why God allows certain things to happen in our lives. Our world is going through all kinds of turmoil right now, and it's only going to get worse. When I say get worse, I'm not taking it in the right context. The Bible speaks about the end of days or the before the rapture takes place, that all kinds of things are going to happen on the earth, talks about the beginning of sorrows. I believe that humanity is going through a time right now that is going to be a difficult time ahead for us. So we as individuals have to face all of these various. We had to go through the COVID-19. We had to go through all of that. Primarily somewhat alone as we were quarantined in our homes and businesses were closed down and schools and all of these things. And we've been going through all kinds of trials only to kind of come out of one thing. And now we're jumping into another test of trial. And I believe that all of these are designed. I believe that God is in control of this planet. Okay. Let me just tell you that I don't believe that God is looking or waking up in the mornings and saying, boy, I didn't see this one coming today, Gabriel. This one's got me just bumfuzzled. I'm not for sure how we're going to deal with this. I think God has everything in control and everything is being orchestrated by God for a purpose. We're going to talk about that in our next series. When I talked a little bit a few months ago about how God positions us and desires to position us. I don't know if you figured this out yet or not in your life, but God uses trials to position us. Have you ever figured that out? There's a reason why God does certain things. Trials, when we look at trials, we can look at them in many different ways, but trials are designed by God, and it is God's favorite method that he uses to get our attention. So many times when we pray, if we pray, God tries to get our attention. We don't pay attention to God. We ignore God. We're going to talk a little about that. How do we hear the voice of God? So these are things that we're going to cover coming up. But we want to finish tonight. We started in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 in the NLT. So be truly glad. This is Peter talking. He's talking to the church. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. We could look at our world right now and say, really? Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show whether or not you really have anything in your heart. I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. These trials will show whether or not your faith, whether or not what you preach is what you live. That's a big problem we have in today's world. There's a lot of people preaching, but very few people are living what they preach. We talked about the issue of the heart. There's wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine, that you're real, that you're saying that you are what you say. It's being tested. Your faith is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold through your faith, or though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. It's interesting here that Peter is placing a value on something precious as gold. He's saying that your faith is more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. We have to understand something, church, that a trial is a test of our faith. Peter tells us to be glad in it. Sometimes I have a hard time being glad in it. I don't know about the rest of you, but I struggle being glad in a trial. Since we can look forward to the wonderful joy that is the fruit of enduring many temporary trials, God rewards faithfulness. I don't know if you've figured that out yet or if you understand that, but God rewards faithfulness. We're going to cover that at the end of our series tonight. The deeper the pain, the greater the joy. Peter goes on revealing that the genuineness of our faith, trials reveal who we really are. Selfish motives and ambition burn away under the heat of adversity. Sometimes we need a little bit of heat in our lives because it burns away all of those selfish motives. So many people have so many different motives today. The sincerity of what we say and what we believe is validated when we're called to live it out. We talked at the beginning of this year, we talked about reading the Word. We talked about praying the Word. And we talked about living the Word. It's very important that we read the Word. That's why God put it in print. So Scripture tells us in John 16:33 that we're not exempt from trials and tribulations because Jesus overcame. A trial is something that is a trouble or an event that causes us to have suffering. And we talked about trials can come in various ways in our lives. Many times trials come because we just do stupid stuff. There's no other way to put that. We just do dumb stuff. I don't know about you, but humanity can be really dumb at times. I'm part of that. I can do really dumb things. I've seen some of you do really dumb things. And you've seen me do some really dumb things. I've been here for 42 plus years of my life. You've seen me do a lot of really dumb things. A trial may be a result of a person or a circumstance that's totally out of our control. Sometimes things happen to us because of choices other people make. As I mentioned, Brother Kelvin, a little earlier, that we reap what we sow. We understand what that means. Right now, our country is reaping somewhat of what we've sown. But you have to understand something. This is a reciprocal process. And we're sowing seeds right now today that I don't think we're going to be able to reap. Think about that. A trial can be a test of the integrity of our faith. Interesting, three people in the Scriptures, Jonah, Joseph, and Job, illustrated each one of these types of trials. Jonah's trials resulted in stupid choices that Jonah made. That was our first night that we talked. Joseph's trials resulted in choices made by others, predominantly his brothers, Potiphar's wife. Job's trials were a test of integrity, And his trials were brought about by God himself. So, overlapping just a little bit, getting into our lesson tonight, to act, to speak or act of sin as though it is no account to God. We live in a world today where that people seem very unconcerned and actually disclaim responsibility for sin in their lives. Our world today, we have a sin problem. Let me just say this, okay? A lot of our issues would go away if we would start living according to God's word. If I loved my neighbor as myself, and the Bible says that no man yet hateth himself, if I love my neighbor as myself, there should be no problems between me and my neighbor. But you see, sin gets in the way, jealousy gets in the way, bitterness gets in the way. And what this happens is this strikes at the very core of our relationship with God. Sin always divides. Think about that. Sin never unifies. It always divides. So our nation, we claim to be a Christian nation, yet we rapidly pursue the pleasures of sin as if there's no concern, no accountability, and no responsibility for it. So this is what Job was doing in claiming that God did not care about him. The reality was that God was putting Job through this 1 year long rigorous trial because God did care. And God did not want to lose that relationship. Understand something. God is all about relationship. He is. He's all about relationship. He wants to have a better relationship with you. Job's trials thus became a witness to all of us of the vast difference between God and us. God being an eternal spirit and us being flesh, that's the greatest difference between God and humanity. But the next greatest difference between God and humanity is the heart of God and the heart of humanity. Jesus points out in Matthew 15, 18 through 20, that sin begins in the heart. It's a man's heart that needs changing, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile him. For out of the heart come evil thoughts. Listen to this. Out of the heart come evil thoughts. Out of the heart comes murder. Out of the heart comes adultery. Out of the heart comes sexual immorality. Out of the heart comes theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. You see, the religious leaders of the day were saying that because Jesus didn't wash his hands before going into the temple or didn't wash his hands before he ate a meal, that that was defiling him. And Jesus was trying to say, no, it's not sanitizing your hands before you go anywhere is what defile you. What defiles a person is what comes out of his heart. That's what makes a person dirty. So we ended up with 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age, being Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Jesus Christ. Who is being blinded? The unbelievers. Who's doing the blinding? The God of this world. Or Satan. Remember, as we mentioned before, the unbeliever has no covering. The world has no covering. They have no protection. So they're open to the deceptions and schemes of the enemy. And knowing this as a believer, as a Christian, should give us a better understanding into why the world is reacting the way it's reacting. It's reacting, they're acting how, they're acting simply because Satan is on a full, all-out press on decepting humanity. He has the whole entire world deceived, and he's done a very good job at putting the blame back on to God. They say, see what your God has? Look at the love of your God. How many of you have read that? If God loves everybody, then why all of this pain, all of this suffering? Why would God allow all this carnage, hatred, racism, and bitterness? Why? Because Satan's a liar and a deceiver, and God doesn't make choices for us. This goes back to trials. Trials of humanity can go through vast trials. So, does God allow Satan to attack believers? Ephesians reminds us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the answer to this question is, yes, God allows Satan to attack you and I as Christians. Obviously, the answer is yes. And obviously, struggling or wrestling would imply a fight or a very up-close and personal attack. I don't know how many of you ever watched MMA. I know we've got a few folks in here. Spencer Hicks is over there giving me that big MMA smile. But listen, you can't fight an opponent in an MMA octagon without getting up close and personal. I mean, it's a wrestling match above all wrestling matches. And you look at that, and we look at how they fight, and we look at the ferocity of how they attack each other, and Satan is seeking to do the exact same thing with you and I. Now, he doesn't have to fight the world as hard as he fights Christians. That's why we are coming under much, much more attack today. So Ephesians is reminding us that we are struggling, we are wrestling, and this fight that we are in is up close and personal. So how do we fight back? How do we deal with this? Well, there are four simple things that we need to remind ourselves when the enemy attacks us. And these are my four closing points here. Point number one. If God is allowing it, if God is allowing you to be attacked in your life, he will allow it only to a point. Understand that. When God, as it relates to Job, when God went to Job, or God went to Satan, excuse me, and said, have you considered my servant Job? He's a good man. He's righteous. Have you thought about him? And Satan says, well, I can't go after Job because you have a hedge built around him of protection, and I can't penetrate that. And God says, well, I'll let you in there. I'll give you the code. I'll give you access. So what does God do? God takes all that away from Job. And the enemy comes in, and just the ferociousness of Satan's attack. It was instantly. So this principle applies in our study tonight as it relates to Job. So Satan asked permission to attack Job, and God granted it, but God said, I'm going to put a limitation on it. Here's what God said in Job 1:12. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself, do not lay a finger. You see, Satan can only attack if God allows it. And then it's only to the limit that God allows. So if you're under attack tonight, and that attack is coming from Satan, it's not coming from your own stupid issues or stupid decisions, okay? Because we've understand that sometimes that happens. But if it's an attack that God is allowing, understand something. God's going to eventually, at some point in time, God's going to say, okay, enough's enough. And when God says enough's enough, and God puts an end to the fight, that's what you want to have happen. You want God to say, okay, enough is enough. Understand also something too. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 7 and 8. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, what this is saying is this means that when God allows the enemy to attack, it's always, always for a greater purpose. Understand something. God is always in control, and he's always far ahead of Satan. So number two, when God allows the enemy to attack us as Christians, it's never without a purpose. And understand, God is not flippant on how he deals with us. God doesn't just look down and say, okay, I think I'm just going to mess around with Caleb Wells for a little bit today. No, God doesn't do that. Everything God does, there's a reason why. You see, Satan thought that through killing Jesus Christ, he was going to achieve himself this great victory. But what he really did was sealed his defeat. You see, as Paul had declared, had we really known what the end result would have been, he would not have crucified Jesus Christ. Had Satan known that the very blood that he was so happy to see spilled out would be the very blood that would wash away the sins of humanity and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, if he would have known that, he would have made sure that everyone stayed free and clear of Jesus Christ. But you see, God allowed Satan to attack to accomplish God's purpose, because God is always, always in control. And God is always way, way ahead of our adversary. And understand something too, when point three here tonight is God turns it for our good. When we go through trials, the most amazing thing about what God does with what the enemy brings our way is that he turns it around for good. Bishop has preached to us over the years that Christianity is the only religion that believes that out of every bad thing can come something good. I believe that wholeheartedly. Remember the story of Joseph? He told his brothers this very same thing in Genesis chapter 20, verse 50. Joseph tells his brothers, "You intend to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." See, Joseph understood. It took a little while, but Joseph began to understand and fully understood when he was placed second in command next to Pharaoh, and that 7 years of plenty was going to come, and then 7 years of bad famine was going to come. That Joseph was placed there, not just for the saving of his household. God said, "You know, I'm not just going to use you to save your household, Joseph. I'm going to use this to build my people." 430 years they stayed in Egypt, and of the 430 years, God began to build a nation out of Israel. So, what his brothers intended as harm, God says, "You know what? I'm going to make sure that something good comes from this." We read in the book of Acts, Brother Jacobs made reference to this when he was here 2 weeks ago on Pentecost Sunday. After Stephen was stoned, there was great persecution that came against the church. When you look at that persecution against the church, we all frown on that. We don't like that. And on the surface, that's not good. But however, what was the result of that? The church was scattered, and it ended up preaching the gospel in more places and winning more souls for Jesus Christ. Because what was meant for evil, God turned around for good. So we have to understand, getting past Satan to the goodness of God, when you stop and consider the question about God allowing Satan to steal, kill, and destroy, it really comes down to your and my perspective. When we look at it correctly, we may look at God and say, God, why me? Why did you pick me, Lord, out of all of these other people? Why me? You ever ask God that question? God, how come I'm always having to deal with problems? Boy, I'm telling you, you know, Brother Glenn Useman, he never seems to have any problems. You know, Brother Ben Thompson, he just always seems to have it together. God, how come my life's just such a mess? You ever think that when you come to church? You ever look at your brothers and sisters and think you're the only ones that got a problem? Think again. How many of you in here, if you would please stand, how many of you in here have no problems going on in your life right now? Nothing. Everything is absolutely perfect. Linda's holding her grandchild. I wait till it burps or poops. Anybody here trouble-free tonight? Okay, so we can all understand. God, why is this happening? Well, we begin to look beyond all of that, beyond why is this happening, and we begin to take and look and see the wonder of what God is doing. I said this at the beginning. I assure you that we may not always get the answers that we want to get in our lives. Nevertheless, when we face some of life's toughest situations, knowing that God is working them out for our good, why? Because that's exactly what God promised he would do. If our musicians can come tonight, we know that Romans 8:28, we quote this scripture. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but this scripture has been quoted a lot over the last 3 months here at Calvary Gospel Church from various different sources. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You understand something? Satan, he's always going to try to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. But as believers, as Christians, we can fight back because God has given us the weapons that we need to fight back. We also have confidence in knowing that no matter what happens in our lives, God is always, always, always in control, and he's way, way ahead of our adversary. And in the end, he will work it out for your good. And I want to close, with this passage of scripture. It's found in Job chapter 42. Job went through a very, very difficult time. And I know some of you tonight are going through very, very difficult times. But I just want to encourage you that even though Job lost everything, this trial that he faced, God said, I'm going to take it all away. Job complained. At times he complained bitterly. But other times he stood his ground. But he said, Lord, you can kill me, but I'm still going to serve you. That's faith. That's resolve in your heart. That no matter what, I think at some point in Job's trial, Job realized that God was in control of all of this. Even though he was frustrated, angry, he wasn't absolutely perfect. God was working on Job's heart. Job had some things in him that he didn't realize he had. But at the very end, understand something, that whatever test you go through, whatever trial that you are going through, God will reward those who faithfully make it through it. You believe that tonight? I love Job 42:12. It says, So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14 14,000 sheep. 14,000 sheep. 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. God gave him back twice the children. But you see, I like this. If we go down to verse 15, you see, God didn't just give Job back his children. God does everything good. In all the land, there were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. You see, God gave him back sons and daughters, and he gave him back beautiful daughters. Isn't that just how God works? Isn't that just how our God works? So let's stand tonight. The testing of our faith. God is continuing to test us. He will continue to test you as an individual. He will continue to test me as a pastor, and he will continue to test Calvary Gospel Church as a church. He will test us as a local church. He will test us as a statewide church, as a national church, and as an international church, because God always, always is testing his people. So God bless you. I hope this series has been helpful and beneficial to you as you sometimes fight your way through life. But God has his reasons, and we serve an awesome God. Just lift our hands. We want to come to the altar tonight and just thank God for the blessings that he's given you in your life. If you got a roof over your head, what a blessing. If you got here by way of an automotive vehicle or a truck, what a blessing. If you got shoes on your feet, what a blessing. You got more than one coat in your closet. What a blessing.
I'm gonna see a victory.
Much for coming to service tonight. Pray that God continues to bless you, your families. If there's anything we can ever do or anything you need, just feel free to give us a call here or grab one of the pastors. Remember, tomorrow night we have movie night here. So Free Willy or Wally or Wally. I don't know why I can't get movies straight, but it's like Wally, Willie's brother, or something like that. I mean, I have no idea. Anyway, is Wally even a? Is it an animal?
It's a robot.
It's a robot. Wow! I went from killer whale to a robot. I'm like way out of touch, I'm afraid. I have to go hang out with my grandkids for a little bit. Maybe they can bring me up to date. How old of a movie is this? 5 years? Okay. 12?
No.
12 years? Wow. Okay. Anyway, tomorrow night, Wally. Like Wally World? God bless you. Love you all. Appreciate you. We will see you Sunday morning.